Extra Points is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook. You bet, you get with Caesars Rewards. You must be 21 or older.
Welcome to Extra Points. Now here's your host, Cousin Sal, and his good pals, Dave Damaschek and Martin Weiss.
All right, welcome to the Extra Points Podcast, part of the Extra Points Podcast Network. We're already having fun. Cousin Sal here on a Thursday morning. Yeah, joining me, Mikey Meatballs filling with the knobs. Eddie Spaghetti, he's out. I don't know. He had some kind of surgical procedure to get a tuner removed from the top of his scalp. Thoughts and prayers out to Spaghetti right there. Babyface Joel Solomon producing this mess and joining me as always, my dear pals, Dave Damaschek, Martin Weiss. Thursday night football. Lots going on. You ready for the week? I saw Martin combing his hair, Shaq, and that's how he does it. That's how you go 13-1 through a couple weeks. Got to get the right comb. Got to get the right hair. And it all falls into place.
Go ahead, Marty.
You shouldn't cut your own hair too, Sal. While we're on the topic of hair, you shouldn't cut your own. You should go to the barbershop. I know.
Oh, I got
But
you.
We know one person who does.
Yeah. I see.
There we go.
Yeah. I was just about to say Mazel Tov on the new Fox Sports Radio gig. Retracted. Marty Weiss is the Chicago Bears of extra points. He's 2-1. Do we think that's going to hold up? No, we don't. No, we don't.
Martin is dominating. Like I said, 13-1. Go ahead, Martin.
I'm just saying, we heard that week one. We heard it week two. Now we're hearing it week three. We'll see. We'll see.
Hey,
just try to finish above 500.
Long season.
I was self-conscious about the hair comment because I got my hair cut yesterday, and I don't know. It's all right.
You're in Brooklyn with your cousin.
You can tell it's definitely a professional job.
It is professional, yes.
Shaq, you're out there with your cousin has a late night TV show, Jimmy Kimmel.
Yes.
And you're out there in Brooklyn talking to David Letterman and so on. Did you meet him, by the way?
I didn't. Everyone's so freaky about going into his dress room and saying hi afterwards. And so I'm respectful. Our agent, James Baby Doll Dixon, does not have the same, doesn't care, goes in there. Letterman put on a great show. Baby Doll stormed in there and introduced himself. Oh, my God. And Letterman shook him off, like pretend he's met him 20 times and it shook him off like he didn't remember who it was. He did a masterful job. But it is fun out here. I need to pace myself better. I had some great pizza yesterday, Lucali's. Now, I don't like to brag, but this is, I think my wife said the number one time my whatever limited fame I had came in handy here. We go, this Lucali's gets a great score by any pizza rater, all right? And we go, and it opens at 5. I said, we got to go right after the show because we had something else.
Oh, okay.
No, 5 p.m. Okay. So it's not even a lunch spot. So I got to go, but all our nights are tied up. So we had this event. I'm like, we have to stop there anyway. We go there. The Nets have it on. The Brooklyn Nets have it rented out. I was like, oh, crap. So I can't get in there. So all of a sudden, I'm on an app trying to get to the next best pizza place within walking distance. And this guy recognizes me. Director of player personnel. He's like, please sit with us, eat the locale. I noticed that the owner has the same last name as me. So we talk for a half hour. It's the greatest thin pizza, Shaq, you'll ever have. It's what I don't want to say like matzah, but maybe two matzahs on top of each other. And it just comes out great. And the Nets leave. I don't even stick my fat head up to see Kevin Durant and Ben Simmons and Kyrie Irving, but they were all there. Beyonce walks in. Alone.
What?
She had a bodyguard, just Beyonce and the bodyguard. My wife's like, yeah, that's Beyonce. The chef's like, all right, I gotta go make more pizza. That's
what
the
a
life.
Crazy thing. A funny life. Overlap. Yeah. I was once in New Orleans in a restaurant and it was empty when we got there right at 5 o'clock. And we're sitting in there and we're like, of all the places, an empty place, this can't be good in New Orleans. By 6 o'clock, the place was jam-packed. Jay-Z and Beyonce came in there too.
Wow.
Weird. When we take road trips, we have so much in common.
Food.
I love that Letterman. The Letterman thing is the greatest. I don't think it's a secret that Kimmel grew up loving Letterman. I think a lot of us did.
I thought that was his best appearance. I don't know if you've seen that, but he was sharp as a tack. Really
he was
great.
Really good. He was really, it's really a cool thing that Jimmy, it's worth noting. Or to me, I think it's a cool note in history that Jimmy Kimmel once sat in the audience at the Letterman show while David Letterman interviewed Jay Leno. Three in the same place. two decades at least before at least two of those guys had late night shows of their own. Pretty cool.
Does that fit into your tow truck towing another tow truck thing a little bit? What do you call that? Do you have a name for that?
I mean,
you got a name that you have to brand that yourself and then have people send you. I know people already send you pictures of that. Yeah.
It's the tow truck towing a tugboat.
I'm pretty sure there might be a name for that when a tugboat has to tow another tugboat.
Yeah. Is that it?
Same concept, just in water.
Oh, I see.
I'm saying there is a name for it because I remember being a child.
Gotcha.
And seeing that happen. And
there's a picture of Tom Brady, a little Tom Brady, I think, shaking hands with Joe Montana in Candlestick. I think maybe I'm making that up, but I'm pretty sure that they met when Brady was a little kid. And Mario Lemieux once went and sat behind the bench of the Canadians when Guy Lafleur was introduced, and he stood up and waved. Lemieux obviously exceeded the greatness of the legend, Guy Lafleur. Let's talk about
those football. Are fun. All right, let's talk football. Let's talk our contests. They're up. They're live. You have the Pick'em contest. You get a nice gold cap for $100. The $100 is the Pick'em contest. The prop quiz gets you the gold cap. I don't even know why anyone would join. Martin is dominating, not just this staff, but the free world. Like I said, 30-13-1, but go to extrapoints.com/arcade. Get it started now. Thursday night, Miami at Cincinnati. 3.5-point favorite the Bengals are, despite the fact that they're wearing the all-white, Sheck. Mm-hmm. You're okay with it?
Yeah.
Last I heard, you were okay with it, except for what the opposition is going to be wearing. It's going to be an eyesore, you think.
Right. That's my concern. So the visiting team, the Dolphins, I assume, I haven't heard this, but I assume they're not going to wear all-white. Obviously, they're going to wear their aqua. But white helmet, white pants, then all-white on the other team. It's going to be too much white on the field is my complaint. But I don't want to get crazy about it. It'll look cool. What we have to determine now as we transition from September football into October is everything in right now as we're trying to divine what's going to go on. Is it a banana or is it a Twinkie? A Twinkie will last forever. A banana won't last till next week. Same thing with a lot of the way these football teams are going right now. Some of them will prove durable and still be relevant come Christmas and New Year's. Others, like the Chicago Bears, as a for instance, I think are about to go away. And Marty Weiss dominating the picks.
Oh, wow. All right. Well, let's get Martin's pick first, because that seems to be the only one that matters here. Martin, 3.5, 48.5. There's weird stuff going on. The footage of the Dolphins practice linked. What did they practice at? University of Cincinnati or something? And now it's all over the internet. I'm not sure that matters. It doesn't matter towards the spread because this has remained at 3.5. But what are you going with?
So if the listeners extra points took my advice on Tuesday, I already got the Bengals at -2. So for today's play, I'm thinking I'm going to go ahead and take the under here.
Okay.
Because, 47 is a pretty high number. 47.5.
48.5, I saw on Caesars last. Oh, okay. Yeah.
All right, so even better then, because when I was looking at it before, it was 47.5. So if you get over that 47, that's key. The Dolphins' offense, if you think about it, they didn't really move the ball too well against Buffalo. That was more of the story of Buffalo's offense not being able to score Miami's defense. And when you they had that big offensive explosion, that was more of a Baltimore falling apart. And the Bengals can't block anybody up front. So I think they'll win. Ultimately, but I think it'll be a lower scoring game. And I think, I like the Bengals at 2. If it gets to 4.5, I might take the Dolphins and try to meet in the middle. But my official take is under 48.
Right. Under 7-3 on, first of all, they're doing well all year across the board. But in primetime games, 7-3, I like it. Well, Sheck, let me hear you first. I'm all over the map on this game because I have a theory, a general theory on this particular Thursday night game. But go ahead, let's hear yours.
Interesting. I'm looking forward to the theory. In the meantime, I really, really, really want to take the Dolphins. But I don't know exactly what the availability of Jaylen Waddle is going to be, even if he suits up. I don't know how close to 100% he is. That's not a small matter. What I do like about the Dolphins that I haven't heard much buzz about is the emergence of Raheem Mostert in the offense. He gives them some bang that they otherwise wouldn't have. I think that's a, you know, I consider them to be like, this fancy pants, but ultimately soft bunch that won't be relevant when football gets more serious and chillier temps. But maybe he does elevate that offense a little bit to grind you out in the fourth quarter. In this game, though, we saw Mostert, Tua, and everybody else out there taking way too many snaps in that heat. I think this skews Bengals. So I'm going to go Bengals here. Now, if under normal circumstances, I would go Bungles. I mean, I would go Dolphins here. But like I say, the quick turnaround from a game that everybody's crying about, like, what, I thought it was too cold up north, but now it's too hot for football games. I'll go with the Bengals here either way.
Well, they weren't. I was thinking about that, too. But didn't they only have like 39 offensive snaps versus 90 for the Bills? The Dolphins did.
They're going to be gassed is what my point. The defense will be gassed, right?
Defenses. Yeah. What do you do about Tua? Is he, you know, with the concussion, the league all over them, whether they treated this correctly with the concussion, is he on special watch? Is he on a short leash? Do we see Teddy Bridgewater? If there's some weirdness early on, you brought up those other injuries, Waddle, their secondary is not great. I think they're third worst in passing yards allowed. All this said, the thing I'm focused on is that Bengals offensive line. Now, the Jets are 26th in the league in sacks and still put Burrow down twice and had a bunch of pressures. Like he did his called his own number a few times and got out of trouble. I think the Dolphins will do better in that department, which is why I'm taking them plus 3.5. Mm. But I think Sheck and Martin, this is one of the weird Thursday night games. My real bet is take both teams minus 9.5. Remember I did this with the NBA?
Yes.
And predictable.
Here it is.
I think somebody doesn't show up here. I'll officially take the Dolphins, but Dolphins minus 9.5 plus 464. Bengals minus 9.5 plus 178. There you go. That's
I love
my pick.
It.
Weird. Yeah,
I think that's great. Something I hope it's weird. The dawn of a new trend for us to follow the rest of the way here, because that is an interesting one that paid out big time for Cousin Sal and all who tailed him in basketball season.
Well, you know, I don't know if you know Harry. I mean, I the do, guy has a mental case. Yes, but he has the opposite with the Joe Buck, Troy Aikman games. He thinks that the league fixes games. Now, when I ask him, what do you specifically mean? They fix games to make them close on the Buck Aikman. He's like, I don't know. I can't answer that. I haven't thought that through. But notice that they're all close. Well, they weren't all close. The Vikings Eagles weren't close. The Cowboys Giants was not a good game, as much as we want to talk about it.
No, definitely.
It wasn't a good game. And you'd have to compare the scores to every other score. He's out of his mind, first of all. But Martin, what do you think of that theory in general?
No, I'm just pissed off because it's all around bad. And it's one of those, it reminds me of the conspiracy theory. Of course, the NBA wanted LeBron in Cleveland. Why would they want LeBron in Cleveland? Why would they not want him in LA or New York? If Monday night primetime games are fixed, or if primetime games are fixed in general, then how is it that we've seen Mitchell Trubisky, we've seen Jacoby Brissett, we've seen the Cooper Daniel Jones? Like, I mean, all of these games, like, they are clearly not trying to put the best matchup.
Geno Smith?
We'd be looking at the Bills.
Yeah, right.
Geno Smith. There you go. Like, we will be looking at the Bills and the Ravens on Sunday night if this was, or you know, on a primetime game. If they were really doing like the NBA does.
And I try to tell him, I was like, why would they give him Geno Smith? He's like, yes, but given Geno Smith, look how close that game was. That game sucked too, but it was close. I don't know. Maybe he needs some time off, Sheck. Where do you get these friends from?
I think he needs to stop going in there and boosting James Madison's flute and playing it. People get very upset about it. Well, wait, that wasn't Harry.
Yes.
No, that wasn't. Never mind.
It was somebody else. Somebody else altogether.
Yeah, all right, heard about that.
Though. I want to talk about Caesars real quick. All right, listen, whatever you're betting, teasers, over, under, do it through Caesars because they have all the names. Caesar himself, Cleo, the Mannings, Henrik Lundqvist, and now yours truly. Yes. Against All Odds is now a proud member of the Caesars Empire. And your very first bet, it's on Caesars. Up to $1,250. If you win, congrats. If you don't, you'll get it all back as a free bet. That first bet also gives you 1,000 tier credits and 1,000 reward credits, putting you closer to the types of perks only Caesars can offer. So download the app, use promo code CZRFULL, and go full Caesars this season. Oh, you must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Maryland, Michigan, Nevada, New Jersey, New York, Ontario, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Wyoming, and Washington, D.C. Sports betting is void in Georgia, Hawaii, Ohio, and Utah, and other states where prohibited. Yes, you have to know when to stop before you start. If you have a gambling problem in Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Virginia, West Virginia, or Pennsylvania, or if you know someone who has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in Maryland, visit MarylandGamblingMDGamblingHelp.org. Or West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, D.C., Nevada, Wyoming, Kansas, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. New York, call 877-8-HOPENY or text HOPENY. That's 467-369. Visit CONNEXONTARIO.ca or call 1-866-531-2600 or text CONNEX to 247-247. Tennessee, call or text Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789.
All right, let's take a quick break and then we will talk about the Sunday slate.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, guys, Vikings at Saints. Oh, Martin, at Saints, technically, wasted home game in London. 2.5-point spread. The Vikings are favored. It's in Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. I don't know if we take the bait here. I mean, they are absolutely begging you to take the Vikings here. Again, home game, sure, technically for New Orleans. Winston not practicing. A back injury. Martin, a back injury. And you have a 14-hour plane ride. What could be worse? There are not many worse injuries than that, you know, for a quarterback's iffy status than a back before a long plane ride. He's kind of practicing. I don't know. Same with Michael Thomas. On the other side, Dalvin Cook has a partially separated shoulder. I'm going Vikings here, the slightly less banged up. And we could hear Jameis isn't starting at 5 a.m. Sunday on the West Coast, 28-19. I'm taking the Vikings, Martin. Sorry.
Nah, I mean, look, I wish it could be different, but I too will be going with the Minnesota Vikings. Kirk Cousins, it hurts me to say, you know, I am a true fan. I'm unlike Dave, but I do bet with my brain. I'm daily. I'm not going to bet against. No, I'll bet against the Saints.
I think it's morally wrong to do. If you care about your team, why would you lay money? Money makes the world go round. So you're going to use yours to bet against your team? Shame the devil.
I'm going to use my money to make more money.
Hench's counter to this is you can't follow your money. You're picking fantasy players in the division that your team plays. Technically, you're betting against them in that way. Or if you just even steer clear of picking players in the division, you're bound to go head to head and you're damn for sure rooting for Tyreek Hill to score if you're the Dolphins against the Steelers.
Sounds like a big rationalization to me. That's what it sounds like to me. Okay, Marty, so you're going against...
Outside of the fact that... Well, because here's the thing, Dave. Like I said at the start of the season, I'm majorly... I love the Saints roster outside of two major spots, and it's the coach and the quarterback. Well, the quarterback's got a broken back, and we're only in week four. And through 4 weeks... The coach and the coaching I think we have missed Sean Payton quite a bit down there in New Orleans, especially when you look at the team, probably should be 0-4 right now. They lucked out against Atlanta. They're going to lose to Minnesota. And on top of all of that, just betting numbers like your boy Harry, London favorites 18-3-1 in games that did not involve the Jaguars.
It's unbelievable.
Weird.
And that's
18-3-1 straight up.
And 15-7 against the spread.
15-7 against the spread.
Yeah, I saw that too. I jumped on that too. That is a spectacular stat. Sheck, am I overstating this whole thing with the flying, with the back injury, or does everybody have like a JetBlue Mint thing where they could lay
no,
in a
No, maybe
bed,
you're right about that. I just straight up like the Vikings more than I like the Saints to this point, so I'm with you guys on taking Minnesota there. But there's 16. There's 16 games every weekend. You could take any of the other games. You could actually lay real dollars on any other game. You don't have to involve yourself in betting against your own team. You have to make a pick here. You don't have to lay actual loot on it. I mean, the loot. Sal's on your side. Yeah, Hench is on your side. Everybody's on your side.
Like I've said in years past, there's no cap in my rap. If you hear me saying I took that team, I'm going to put my bread on it too. You know why? I'm a man of honor and a man of distinction and a winner, Dave. That's what I am.
That's respect. I give him
and
respect,
also, and also, you're a little bit of a Lions fan too. Let's acknowledge that part of why you can go against
forward. Yeah. Shaq, are you taking the Vikings?
I say yes. I'm taking the Vikes for sure in this one. Yes. Jameis and Michael Thomas. Yeah. I'll take Minnesota.
Clean sweep. And you got a healthy Kamara fumbling. Like, I'm not sure he's back snuff either. All right. Jacksonville at Philly. Wow. This is a fun one. 6.5 is the number of Philly's favored at home. Doug Peterson against his old team, right? Revenge. Help me remember this. Is this the same year he takes Hurts out week 17 at halftime or somewhere in the game, right? Screwing the Giants from making the playoffs completely, but then gets fired in the offseason. That was the same season, right? Wasn't that the sequence? Mm-hmm. That was it. Okay.
I'm almost positive. All right. And then he took a year off and then went to Jacksonville.
All right. I like what Jacksonville is doing. I like what their defense is doing, especially. But I'm going Philly here. One of the few 3-0 against the spread teams. Jacksonville has to figure out they're really just weird on the road. 1-18 straight up in their past 19 road games, 24-16. Give me the Eagles. Sheck, what do you like?
I don't care about the Wayback Machine where the Jags are concerned for obvious reasons here. They're a completely different team with Peterson and what they have. It's not Trevor Lawrence turning it around. It's the defensive front seven that is the major difference there. Well, obviously, Trevor Lawrence is making a difference, too. I think that Philly has a practical advantage against almost everybody they play because of their offensive line. Not true here against the Jags. Give me the Jags plus 6.5.
Okay. You know, I think we do have to be careful about saying their defense is for real this year, because you could say that about everyone. I don't know why. Unders are coming in left and right. That it has to even out. But maybe you're right about Jacksonville. Maybe, and I said it too. But we do say that for about 25 teams. Martin, what are you going with?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Philly as well. And it's in part, I just need Jacksonville to show me a little bit more. Even though I get it, back-to-back games, over 20-point wins. The jump that they would have had to make for them to be on this trajectory from where they were last year is it's Josh Allen from year one to wherever he is now. Like this, it would have to been amazing. So I'm just going to fade it one more time against a team that I think is one of the best in the NFC.
Hey, Sal, when you mentioned with the defense and, you know, defense is dominating with very few exceptions. Are you noticing that the bookmakers it feels to me like the game totals are way down. If you look through them, I mean, like
they've adjusted
38,
a little bit.
42. Yeah. You see a lot of those out there. That's not typical, is it, in pro football?
Well, I mean, they're hitting it. The unders are hitting it 63-64%. So anyone who's following that when they're filling out their pools and everything else are going with the unders. So yeah, they have to adjust a little. So, yeah, I think in some cases it's been 2 or 3 points, especially like in Green Bay games and Tampa Bay games where you expect a major offensive output from the Rodgers and even like the Mahomes and the Bradys of the world. Yeah, those numbers are suffering big time. Well, I don't know about suffering, but they're going down. I'm looking, is this 3 or 2 games in a row where the Eagles were shut out in the second half? That is one thing to keep an eye on. They seem to get on you early, and then that's that. I know that against the Lions, they didn't do anything in the second half, and against the Commanders as well. So, but anyway, I see the same thing happening.
I think into week three, I think they had 48 total points, and 24 of them had come in the second quarter. So
second
they
quarter.
Do a lot of their, they do a ton of their scoring in the second quarter.
Well, they had 24 in the second quarter against the Commanders. Yeah, so that's
that's
up there. Yeah.
Also, if the Eagles wear their turquoise pants, I mean, if the Jags wear the Jags wear their turquoise pants against the Eagles green, that will be a candidate for worst uniform matchup, not just of the week, but of the season. But also, Jacks v. Philly requires me to point out that if the Miles Jack fumble recovery and should have been touchdown in New England a couple of years ago had counted, actually 2017, way back now,
right.
You would have had the Jags v. Eagles in the Super Bowl. And Chris Long doesn't like hearing about it, but the Jags might have won that game. Think about how different history would be with Blake Bortles as your Super Bowl champion. And then I don't know what happens after that. Blake Bortles is still the quarterback in Jacksonville is one of the things that comes out of that.
Well, you know, nothing requires you to bring these things up. I know you said requires you, but you could I mean, like Martin, were you going to go back? Like, whoa, we got to refill that space. I mean, was anyone going to say anything?
I wasn't thinking at all about the. I wasn't thinking at all about the AFC Championship.
You're proving. No. You're proving my point. Like Marty and you weren't going to do it. So who was, if not me?
Oh,
you see,
it had to be you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Shaq, let's. I'll let you talk here. Steelers 3.5-point favorite against the Jets. It's a return of Zach Wilson. Trubisky. I would think at this point he needs a win to keep the job, but I don't know. I don't know how firm. Coach Tomlin is going to stand here. 3.5. I think it's low. I say 23-17. The 3-and-out rates for both teams. You talk about an under here. It really seems like an under. 33% 3-and-out for the Steelers. The only team worse is the Bears, 35%. But I think their defense is going to be tough enough on Zach Wilson, their return matchup. What do you like?
Do you? Listen, this is one of three fishy lines out there.
You've not taken them this year yet, right? Have you gone against them all three times?
I think I did take. I did take them v. Cleveland. As a matter of fact, last Thursday night. Yeah,
right.
I think I did. Okay. Yeah, I'm pretty. I'm almost positive I did. Yeah.
Randy Face would remember. He's all over this. Yeah.
I'm gonna take the Steelers here at home. I mean, this has to happen already. Or what are we timing there? But it is a very scary spot. The assumption that this is a get right game for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
This is a scary spot. What are you going to do? You
because everybody
over.
Has a,
this is a scary spot.
Because go through social media, listen to shows, whatever. There's nobody taking the Jets in this game. That spooks me. Zach Wilson serves as a wild card, right? We haven't seen it. We've barely seen him in a since last autumn. I don't know what he's going to do. Garrett Will. I mean, they have pass catchers. They have playmakers there. Everybody's just assuming this is a rollover. I've been saying it for 5 or 6 weeks now. Be on the lookout for this. If the Steelers offense sputters, do not be surprised if the second half starts with number 8 under center, not number 10. At some point, Tomlin's going to flip that switch and go with the rookie. I wouldn't be surprised.
I can't keep track of the numbers. Is that Blake Bortles? 10?
Okay. I don't remember. No, yeah. Trubisky would sit down, Pickett would jump in, and Pittsburgh would go wild. I think that's not a small matter, too, that you want to throw the kid in there with great support. He goes out onto the field to play hero against the Jets. Everybody rallies before they have to go off to Buffalo. You don't want to put the kid in there in that spot at Buffalo for his first run.
Right. All right.
Okay. Welcome. So I'm just trying to make sure where would be a good spot to put him in. So 7 minutes in the first quarter last week wasn't halftime this week, but starting next week, no go. Cause that's okay. Just wanted to see where the picket path to starting was at with you, Dave. You said nobody's taking the Jets. Well, I'm somebody.
Good. I like somebody doing it.
Well, it's just the Steelers. I mean, I get that the Jets, the 3-point favorite, 2-point favorite, like it's like kind of been floating around in there. But I think the Jets should win this game. Although Zach Wilson is almost assuredly going to throw an interception. But I'm going on the Steelers without TJ Watt. They don't win without TJ Watt. They just don't. If you like 0-8, 0-9, like they don't win without TJ Watt. So even they may keep this one close, but I'm going to keep riding that one until they show me different.
I wonder if the play is Steelers first half here, minus like 1.5 or 2 points. With Zach Wilson, it should take him a minute to get, you know, right situated with TJ Watt or not. And Trubisky has to be playing like he's playing for his job, right? So that would lean, maybe get a little value in just that first half of the game. All right, I'm saying 23-17. given the points, taking the points in Indy.
I like
Tennessee,
the over,
also.
Actually, though. Jets, Steelers, give me the over in that one. Yeah.
Good luck taking an over anywhere. All right. But I'm taking the points in Indy, Tennessee. Tennessee on the road, getting 3.5. Jonathan Taylor, this was interesting, missed practice for the first time in his career, like high school, college, pro. A weird thing. Point of pride for him to make practice, missed it. Colts showed me a little something last week. But let's be honest, that offense, as is the case with most teams, is poor. But worse, if you're Indy, 32nd in expected points added. Those are EPAs. Per drive, Derrick Henry back on track and not only rushing the ball, 5 for 58 receiving. Sorry, Megan Gailey, 19-17. I am going Tennessee. Martin, what do you like?
This is one I was going back and forth on. I really didn't have a strong side. I think both of these teams are severely underachieved throughout the beginning of this season. This I'm really kind of going back to what I thought at the start of the year. I'm going to go ahead and take the Colts. They're laying 3 after only winning one game. So I feel like maybe the odds makers are planning on like looking at what they thought the expectations were at the start of the year as well. With Tennessee kind of being down and the Colts almost being one of the favorites to or up there towards favorites to win the division. I'm going to go with Indy. I figure obviously Kansas City gave it away last week, but Tennessee hasn't shown me the ability to score the ball. Neither has Indy. So I'm just going with the Colts. Jonathan Taylor got a day off at practice, maybe.
I guess that's one way to look at it. Check, I end up doing research, obviously, on all these games. But I also, when I look at it immediately, I look at spreads, and I have an internal clock. If within like 15 seconds, I don't have a reason to think that the favorite is going to win by a lot or favorite, like if I'm still iffy on the game, I'm going to take the underdog if it's 3.5. That's kind of what I did here. What do you like?
I can't mount much of an argument against you because Vrabel and company have done a great job against the Colts over the last couple of years. And that's usually a trend that you can point to. I like the Colts here. Both the Titans and Colts had to have last week. The Colts were in a tougher spot, obviously, against the Chiefs. Both survived another week here. I tepidly am going to roll with the Colts here. It wouldn't be a stunner to see the Titans do it. But to Marty's point, I'm getting into the August machine, going back to there and where I was on this a month ago. The Colts are the superior team. Ergo, give me Indy at home.
Well, that's another good point. So where do we... This is... about where, and I think, Martin, you'd said this with which team earlier we did. You're like, I want to see one more out of Jacksonville, right? So we have our August predictions. Yeah. And then around week 3, week 4 is where we say goodbye to some of the more ridiculous ones. I'll get to one in a second. Check Baltimore at Buffalo. Sorry, Buffalo at Baltimore. Buffalo is the favorite, 3-point favorite. You pointed out earlier in the week, one of these two is going to have 2 losses through 4 weeks. Interesting. The winning quarterback, I will say, is going to be the MVP favorite. I can almost guarantee it, whoever comes out of this. Listen, one thing we're not hearing about, I know Lamar's been great, 10 touchdowns, right? 2 touchdowns rushing, 10 passing. Ravens have allowed 68 points in the last 2 weeks. Now to a team, again, against a team now with the Bills who, the offensive coordinator's throwing fits. They're mad. They get angry when they lose. Not that the Ravens don't. Josh Allen, Gabe Davis, it's going to work this time. 30-23. Bills score a lot. I'm taking Buffalo -3.
I'm going to go with the Ravens here. This to me is the game that should be on Sunday Night Football. I would accept, by the way, the Jags and Eagles. If we could just magically snap our fingers every week and decide what it would be, this would be the best game to watch here. This is, we talk about the different ways to skin the cat in pro football in 2022. This is a prime example of that, the way Josh Allen's Bills do it versus Lamar Jackson, who's doing it almost all by himself. Not as much celebration as there's been for number 8, not still enough without Ronnie Stanley in there. J.K. Dobbins still getting up to speed. And as you say, Sal, the defense has not been good at all. And that was an assumption that I made, that it would be much better this season. Still, Lamar Jackson is so distinctive to try and handle for 1 week that I don't think the Bills are primed to do it, especially after they just were down in Miami. And, does it matter or not? All we heard about was, it's too hot. It was too hot for the Bills. Well, then this should impact them the following week.
Well, yeah, what's weird was we heard about how their secondary is banged up too, right? Micah Hyde and Poyet, these guys are out, but the Dolphins didn't completely. Yep. That was such a weird game. They didn't even have that many plays, the Dolphins. So I don't know. I don't even know how to look into that. But all right, Martin, this premier game of the week, I think, even though it's not under the lights.
Yeah, no, the way to look at the Buffalo-Miami game is that Buffalo just couldn't. I mean, they had multiple 13-play drives and with that ended with 0 points. That's an anomaly in football, and I think that's probably why you see Ken Dorsey, freaking out. And it's part of the reason why I like Baltimore in this game. Obviously, I've been on the Lamar Jackson MVP train since. That's a preseason take I will firmly plant my flag on still. But Buffalo, with losing Hyde and Poyer, cannot be understated in like the way that they play defense. And Baltimore's secondary has been absolutely atrocious. Mac Jones was moving the ball in them week one and got lucky with two tip ball. Got lucky, really. So I'm thinking that last week, rather. I'm taking Baltimore. I like them on the money line, but I'm obviously going to take the points. Buffalo's offense, too, their offensive line injuries, especially to the center. There was a couple bad snaps in that Buffalo game that cost them actual points at the end of the half. And at the end of it, Buffalo's injured in a way in some pretty key spots. So I'm going to go with Baltimore here. Hopefully they can shore up on the secondary.
If I'm right, and you mentioned it, Sal, if I'm right that the Ravens win, then you're never going to get a better shot at Lamar Jackson MVP odds. He's plus 700 right now. Josh Allen remains inexplicably, almost except for confirmation bias, that Josh Allen is plus 300. There's no reason he would still be the favorite. If the Ravens win this one, Josh Allen drops. Lamar Jackson maybe takes the top spot unless Tua wins.
I think so.
On Thursday night. So
I think unless it's, a lackluster performance, but they still win, which I don't think we'll see out of Lamar Jackson. But yes, I think you're right. Martin, you were on this at what, 20 to 1, 16 to 1?
20 to 1.
So 7 to 1 still seems high, but going to get much lower if you like the Ravens to win this game. On the other hand, how much lower could Josh Allen get if Buffalo wins? Is he really going to be plus 250 week four? No, but not a quarter of the way through the schedule. All right, Washington at Dallas. I don't love this line. Here's where I read into the lines too much. It's 3. I kind of think this should be 4, 4.5. I think this Washington team is junk. Just looking at the quarterbacks now, is Carson Wentz a good deal better than Cooper Rush? Is it even a point difference to the spread? I don't think so. I'm looking at one thing here. The Giants saw 24 pressures from the boys' defense. Wentz took 9 sacks against the Eagles. He's taken 15 this year. This is an ugly, ugly under game that my team pulls out, 19-12. Martin, where are you going?
At 3.5, I take the football team just because I don't trust Dallas's offense. I know everybody's in love with Cooper Rush. I think he's more
It went down to 3, though. That's what's weird about this, right? 3, yeah.
All right, so then if it's a solid 3, I'm still taking the football team. I mean, look, I bet against the Cowboys. They were 3 against the Giants? Like Carson Wentz is better than Daniel Jones. Getting sacked 9 times is on you, not your offensive line. And I'm not sold on the Dallas defense either. Sold on Micah Parsons. I'm sold on Micah Parsons.
They're in these games. All right.
Did you not see Tank Lawrence on Monday night? He wrecked all day long.
Yeah, in part because people are double teaming Micah. And once Micah Parsons is off the field, I'm not positive that the Cowboys can still stop. The offense is in the same way. Because he is such an impact player. I mean, you see guys like Lyle Collins jumping off sides just because Micah Parsons is lined up offside of him. Like, I'm not saying that, he's rising that defense to an incredible level. And Trayvon Diggs is also obviously good. But I would like to see more out of the Dallas defense before I'm going to go ahead with Cooper Rush in the backup quarterback.
What the hell are we doing?
I mean, nothing.
Marty, you said it earlier about T.J. Watt and the Steelers. You're right. You're like this cognitive dissonance that everybody expresses, or a lot of people do, which is, well, I mean, you can't expect the Bengals to win without Joe Burrow in there, right? It's like, yeah, the same applies to defenses. Micah Parsons is perhaps the best defender in football right now. So if you take him off, the defense won't be as good. He is in there. As long as he's healthy, I'm going to take the Cowboys to wreck against the Commies.
Right. And he had the flu last week. He had the flu Monday night, right? That was just Monday. It's Thursday now. Like, I don't know how he's feeling today. Like, he was on the sideline for several third downs against the Giants. That matters to me. Go ahead, though.
Well, Take the Cowboys to roll. Burrow and Brady and, I don't know, Daniel Jones is just the icing on the cake, really. But 24 pressures, I don't know how much more you need to see out of this. You're going big Cowboys route, huh, Shaq?
I don't know about route because I don't, you know, it's Cooper Rush under center, obviously. But right. I mean, the fix for the Commies that I have said for 2 months, put Sam Howell in already, would you please? You know, Carson Wentz is broken. What are you doing? And Jer is even crazier. I don't understand. This is his own team that he's trying to gin up a controversy around.
No, he shouldn't do that.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe Cooper's putting some pressure. Why would you do that, Jerry? Don't you want that coming in and feeling happy and excited to be a part of a team that is still in contention and relevant in his stead? Of course you do.
Nothing really makes sense with him, especially when he's so as drunk as he is doing these interviews. But yeah, I don't. I'm a little nervous about the three. I'd say under. I don't know. Go under in all these games the way things are going. But I don't think the Cowboys defense lets them down. All right, Denver at Vegas, 2.5. Look, I'm sticking. We talked about our preseason. You know what were our paths? I'm going to stick with the Raiders. Maybe not necessarily to win the AFC West, like I had them at 7-1, which is now 20-1. But this is the kind of season you can maybe say this about a lot of teams. But the Raiders were, I would say, 3 Derek Carr throws away from being 3-0, and not Hail Mary throws. Not right, decent, kind of in these games, every single game. What's going on? You know, Darren Waller, catch the ball, Darren Waller. Eventually, he's going to stop dropping passes. I know I'm down on the Broncos. I feel like they could easily, on the flip side, be 0-3. An absolute must win for Josh McDaniels. And I think he actually gets the coaching matchup he needs. Raiders pull it out 27-16. Check.
I'm going Raiders, too.
You are?
20 years ago, Sal told me this, and it always bangs around in my head at times like this. When there's two teams going against each other, but one absolutely has to have it and the other one doesn't, take the team that has to have it. The Raiders are in that spot. They lose that game and are down, you know. You know, you assume, obviously, the Broncos would be 3-1, so they would be several games ahead with the plus because of the head-to-head win. If KC beats Tampa Bay, it's over for the Raiders in the division. They got to get this one. I like the Broncos more than just about anybody this side of John Elway, though, this year. They could also be 3-0, Sal, to your point, could the Broncos. And that offense is going to get a tick better. Maybe it's not going to set the world on fire, but it doesn't have to because the defense is for real a mile high.
All right.
I'm going to take Vegas, though, this week.
I actually thought, Martin, this would be 3. I thought it would be a solid 3-point bet. It's down to 2.5. And I don't know, can you make the 0-3 team a 3-point favorite if they're about even? Which way you like?
I think that's kind of what you end up there. And plus, too, the Raiders have been the recipient of like the Kyler Murray thing week 2 where he was just, you know, doing video game stuff.
Ridiculous.
I'm taking the Raiders here as well. I don't like the Broncos whatsoever. If Jimmy G was just less of a spaz, they would have lost that game. Because you want to talk about somebody that needs to show something. That Broncos offense and Russell Wilson, if they don't get it together soon, then I don't know what the recourse will be. But I think, Raiders need this game. Josh McDaniels, I was just killing him the other day, talking about he can't coach and can't do this, can't do that. Well, Nathaniel Hackett probably shouldn't even be a coach. Well, Josh McDaniels at least has won Super Bowls and stuff as a main guy. Not head guy, but main guy. I'm going with the Raiders.
I love the headlines. I love to think about what the headlines are going to be on Monday. Imagine if Vegas loses this game. The Josh McDaniels thing will then become a major story that, like, man, this guy is a bum of a head coach. That will be the fallout there. If the Cards smoke the Carolina Panthers, I wouldn't be surprised if Matt Rhule gets let go. Conversely, what if the Panthers dump the Cards and Kyler Murray? How do you continue to move forward with that mess in Arizona? There's some fascinating. Yeah. And then like we talk about, one of the Bills or the Ravens are going to be 500 at the quarter pole. This is wild. These are wild storylines that are going to be true on the other side of the weekend. Fun.
Babyface, what are you jumping in with here? What's this?
Oh, no, to Martin's point with Hackett, didn't they hire him a game management coach And yet it was still terrible.
He hired him. Yeah.
You know, and I wonder about that because to me, it feels like it's hiring somebody to talk or to like to do research for me. Right. Like, yeah, I come on here and I do the show, but I look up stuff like the little London stat and see what, you know, guys, EPA and so on and so forth before I'm picking what team is going to win. I feel like that's the equivalent.
I also feel like it should come out of Hackett's salary. I don't think the team should have a favor, right?
It's like you got what is your job if it's not to know when to call timeout, know when to challenge plays? Like isn't that the job description?
Yeah, he's hiring a coach to help him coach the coach.
I never did the math on this. I don't know why, as somebody who loves obviously his Pittsburgh-based teams. Nathaniel Hackett's father is Paul Hackett. I never made the connection. That Paul Hackett destroyed the Pitt football program. He is the one who put the final nails into that coffin that is just now being resurrected decades after the fact. So I guess it's no wonder that his son wouldn't fall far from that tree.
That's right.
The saboteur runs in the family.
Yeah. All right. KC at Tampa Bay. This is a Sunday night game. Yes, you guys both mentioned it should probably be Baltimore, Buffalo, but I guess they have to give CBS some love. I forget how the networks do it, but everyone protects the game. Not that NBC is mad. They're stuck with this, although I imagine they thought both teams would be 3-0, or at least were hoping for that. And I imagine they thought it would be a classic Brady Mahomes matchup, which maybe it could be, but it doesn't look like that's what it's going to be. Both teams are doing it on defense, both coming off a loss. Bucks, what have they allowed? 14, 10, and 3. And Kansas City's defense, right? They're behind them, only allowing 4.6 yards a play, which is fifth in the league. The Chiefs 0-5 against the spread in their last five road games against Tampa. I know you don't care about that, Sheck. It's also scary to see this Chris Jones thing. As much as they protect Brady, now to think that he doesn't even have to touch Brady, he could just say something about one of Giselle's outfits and it's 15 yards. But I think a lot of emotion and a lot of rearranging schedules, even if they do play in Tampa with that storm coming through, prayers go out to everyone there. This might be played in Minneapolis, but either way, even if it isn't, it's a hectic, hectic week. I think Mahomes takes advantage of that. He hits Kelsey after a big drop last week. They get it back. Play all your Kelsey props over Chiefs 26-21. Sheck, what do you like?
Well, you touched on it. Everybody keeps talking about it. I keep pointing it out that it's, if you're wringing your hands in Chicago because Justin Fields isn't putting up points, in Pittsburgh because Trubisky isn't, look around the league, everybody. Neither is Tom Brady or Kyler Murray or Russell Wilson or Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes is quietly struggling. The offense is quietly struggling. The defense is offsetting it a bit. That's not going to be the luxurious position they're in because the Bucs defense is perhaps the best in all of football. They're going to get Mahomes a little bit more than the KC defense is going to get Brady. Give me the Bucs as a home dog.
All right.
If that counts Jen as a dog. It sounds like they're going to be in the Tampa St. Pete area for this one.
It seems like it's a pick 'em now, but yes, certainly you would think Tampa Bay would be favored under preseason
conditions. Did it move because of the Minnesota thing?
It moved in Tampa's favor, so I don't know. It's a little weird what's going on here with this. I don't know. It's probably a stay away, but you can't, Martin. It's Sunday night. You're going to have money on it, right?
Yeah, I'm going with Mahomes, especially after the way they lost last week. And the way that he got into it with the Bieniemy walking off the field, there's obviously, I mean, I don't think that there's any big type of carryover from that, but it's obvious that, Mahomes wants to put his foot to the pedal, or pedal to the floor, rather, and try to score as many points as possible. And I think especially after the special teams gaffes that they had last week, they're going to be more aggressive. They're going to be going for it. The Buccaneers do probably have the best defense in football, top to bottom, but I think Kansas City's offensive aggressiveness won't be able to get matched by what Tom Brady's running out there right now, because that is as good as their defense is, their offense is pretty terrible.
It's unbelievable. Spaghetti.
It's mainly due to injuries, but I don't know how many people are getting back, so.
Yeah, on waiver wire, Jen and Eddie went over the Jacoby Brissett, his numbers so far after 3 weeks, better than four Hall of Fame quarterbacks, all the top seven that you would think, except for like Lamar Jackson. It's unbelievable. All right, let's take a quick break and then we'll do our award-winning pup of the week when we return. All right, pop of the week, underdog check. You know how it works. I don't even have to explain it to you. An underdog of plus 150 or better to win the game outright. Who are you going with?
Well, this sucks because I don't like to do what you're going to do, but there are really no other reasonable options out there. I'm taking the same team you are, Geno Smith and the Seattle Seahawks.
All right.
I have no choice. My options are too limited.
This is down from 170. It's 158 right now. Yeah, it's a hard left turn for me because I feel like I have the Lions as my pup of the week, three out of every 4 weeks, and they'll be entertaining as always. But I think 158 is a nice number for Geno and the Seahawks. It's a couple of weeks ago, Martin, we were talking about how Detroit hadn't been favored and one is a favorite in like 12 years or something. I'm not completely there with them yet. Seattle fights hard. They had a real good chance to go 2-1, as did the Lions. I think this one's close. Worth jumping on the plus 158. Which way are you going?
I'm definitely not taking Seattle. I think the Seahawks the are the worst team in football.
If we all have Seattle. Yeah.
Yeah. I can't disagree. I disagree with you guys pretty hefty on that one. Okay. I'm split. I'm torn right now between taking the Texans over the Chargers and taking the Jets over the Steelers. Uh-huh. I'm thinking that I'm going to go. I don't, you know what? Me and Will Blackman are Davis. We're on the Davis Mills train. They're going to be able to run the ball. The Chargers are missing like every single pro bowler that they've ever had. Yeah. And Justin Herbert he has less ribs than Eve from the Bible. So I'm going with the Texans.
They whipped them real good.
It's in Houston, that game? No, I just, where is that game?
It's in Houston.
That game is, yep.
Yeah, it's in Houston. Okay, go ahead.
And they whipped the for what it matters, Davis Mills and company whipped Justin Herbert and company late last season. So if you like that trend, very quickly, the two fishy lines I threw out that just weren't juicy enough to jump on. How are the Panthers giving any pro football team points, whether it's in Charlotte or otherwise? The Cardinals are actually getting a point and a half. And the other funny one to me is the Browns only giving a point to the Falcons. Those are both fishy lines. I'd love to take the Falcons, but weird. It's not juicy enough to transcend good the ones plus 150.
Falcons 3-0 against the spread, right? They're the other 3-0 team with the Eagles. Yeah.
I've taken both the Falcons and the Cardinals and actually did an all-bird parlay, Falcons-Cardinals, with their money lines because I think both of those teams are going to win outright.
Right.
This is wrong team favorite.
Yeah, those lines are fishier than the odor from Spaghetti's head right there. I think so. Where is Spaghetti? Is that a wedding?
He went to
a wedding with a fish on his head?
No, he got salmonella and he passed away from complications. He got, that's it.
Salmonella. Yeah, I like that. I'll think.
Is this, is this one of those, this might be a two America thing, but do you guys eat, or have you guys known people to eat spaghetti with fish?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. What? Clams? Okay. Spaghetti and clams?
No, I didn't know.
Paella.
Oh, come on.
No, like spaghetti with like fried catfish or fried like, and it will be like, that'll be.
Not like that, but there are, I don't know, spaghetti and clams, right? What else?
Linguine some scrimps. Clams, stuff like some that? Scrimps in there with your red sauce. Linguine is nice.
Other seafood pieces, sure. I'm talking about fish, like the same fish that we saw on top of Eddie's head.
Oh, I see. No.
That type of fish. Like not really. Like, you know, it's like a fried fish with your spaghetti.
No. All right, listen, we got to go. The Judge Chase is on. Crap, I had it at plus 450. I was looking good for him to not hit 62. Now Caesars has that at 9-1 because he hit 61. Triple Crown, yes, is minus. Yeah, Shaq, you missed it by a day. Shaq is, yes, is minus 160. He and Arias are both at 313. I don't know. I might take, I'm just everything against Judge. I'm stupid. Big Mets Braves series coming up.
Good luck.
Big contest on extrapoints.com/arcade. You got the pick 'em. You got the prop quiz. Do it all. Lemon Pepper Parlay, Martin, you and Will Blackman, right? Another very good episode.
Oh, yeah.
Good times. And
it started out a little contentious, but we battled through.
I wanted to start and end contentious. That's how I want all the podcasts to be on this network. Shaq minus 3, got Kevin Hedge coming today, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's up to his usual Boston sports fan jive of talking about how Mac Jones or Brian Hoyer and the Patriots now wouldn't be able to beat Tulsa head to head. I don't even know what his proclamations are. They're nonsense. Thank goodness I was there to set him straight. Listen to it.
Megan Fun of Sports. You got the Megans weighing in on all funny things sports related. And you got Waiver Wired covered in glory against all odds coming up. We'll go over the Thursday night game props, first touchdown, and all the Friday weekend games as well. Babyface, you want to say something before we sign off?
No, I just, if Eddie didn't have a tough enough week, I love that he missed, he would want everyone to know that he missed home run number 61. Yeah. Because he wanted the car at 6:30, Jada got it at 6:15. Sure enough, at 6:16, he hit the home run. God bless him, Eddie.
Oh, poor Jada. Oh boy, poor Jada. Wow, it's not fun for her.
He did guarantee. Right, he guaranteed he's never watching sports again if the Bears beat the Giants. So now we all have something to root for.
It's funny, on text he said he didn't even care if they lost to the Giants.
I know,
the Bears,
it's weird.
If the Cowboys, yeah.
Well, he also says he doesn't care about individual honors like home run crowns, but then he was upset about Aaron Judge, so I don't know.
That's true. Exactly. All right, that'll do it for another episode of Extra Points. A reminder out there to everyone, you may feel like underdogs, but please remember, you're all my favorites. ¶¶